Hear the word of God as it's written in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, reading verses 7 to 21, which can be found on page 275 of the majority of the Pew Bibles. We hear the story of the messenger of God, the prophet Elijah, as he returns 3 years after warning King Ahab that there would be a famine until Elijah prayed for rain. 1 Kings chapter 18, reading from verse 7. As Obadiah, now he was a faithful servant of God, as Obadiah was walking along, he suddenly saw Elijah coming toward him. Obadiah recognized him at once and bowed low to the ground before him. "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" he asked. "Yes, it is," Elijah replied. "Now go and tell your master, Elijah is here." "Oh, sir," Obadiah protested, "what harm have I done to you that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? For I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on earth from end to end to find you. And each time he was told, Elijah isn't here, King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to the truth of his claim. And now you say, go and tell your master, Elijah is here. But as soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to who knows where. When Ahab comes and cannot find you, he will kill me. Yet I have been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Has no one told you, my Lord, about the time when Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in 2 caves and supplied them with food and water. And now you say, go and tell your master, Elijah is here. Sir, if I do that, Ahab will certainly kill me. But Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this very day. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. And when Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, "So, it is really you, you troublemaker of Israel." "I have made no trouble for Israel," Elijah replied. "You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel." So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. If you've quite finished, Elijah. When I was a young lad, I remember a song. And because you're such nice people, I'm not going to sing it to you. I'll just give you the first few lines and let's see if anyone can finish it with the title of the song. Some talk of Alexander and some of Hercules, of Hector and Lysander and such great names as these. But of all the world's great heroes, there's none that can compare with the tow, row, 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 row of the... Shout it. Shout it out. The British Grenadier. Do you not know that song? Ah, the British Grenadier. Malky, was that you? If I could reach you, that would be a high five, Malky. The British Grenadier, yes, they were the local heroes at that time. Almost everybody loves heroes, and especially superheroes.
Every child watches shows about superheroes, and every culture throughout history has had its heroes. People who were able to do and be more than the rest of us. In ancient times, you had heroes like Alexander the Great in Greece, the mighty Hercules from Roman mythology, Hector from Troy, and Lysander from Sparta. In the Middle Ages, it was the chivalrous King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and the charitable outlaw Robin Hood. Nearer to home, we had the exploits of Robert the Bruce and William Wallace to ignite our national pride. More recently, it's comic book heroes like Spider-Man and Batman. In literature, it's Harry Potter. And as we progress in sexual equality, so too do more and more female superheroes like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Katniss Everdeen appear in our culture. If you don't know who they are, you'll need to ask the younger ones, okay? Every generation has its heroes. Many of our blockbuster movies tell stories about superheroes. Since the year 2000, there's been more than 100 or so big budget movies with superheroes and characters with superhuman strength. And they're consistently among the top grossing movies at box offices each year. Why, oh why, do we love stories about superheroes? What is it about them that draws them to us? When particular heroes were first created, you will discover it was usually during a time of great difficulty, uncertainty, and darkness. For instance, many of the most popular comic book heroes were created between the Great Depression and the beginning of World War II. It was during this time that people were searching for symbols, searching for something to put their faith in, someone who would protect them. The attraction of superheroes is more than entertainment or the desire to hear a good story. As someone once wrote, superheroes deal with the interior elements of humanity. They are colourful incarnations of the human soul. In this way, we put our hopes, fears, dreams, emotions, and all the unspeakable facets of human nature into physical form and loose them in fantastical worlds to see what we may learn from them. In other words, our heroes are projections of some of our deepest longings and our greatest fears, and teach us about ourselves and what we wish we could be. And one thing they all have in common is that every hero lives a story worth telling. But heroes aren't just limited to the big screen. There are numerous heroes in Scripture whose stories have been told and embraced by people of faith for thousands of years. This morning, we're going to take a break from our series on the minor prophets to look at the one of the most fearless heroes of the Old Testament, a man who both John the Baptist and Jesus himself were compared to in the New Testament. This morning, we're going to look back to the days of Elijah, who was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, and is to this day one of the most celebrated heroes in Jewish faith. The big screen moment of Elijah's life and ministry was taking on personally wicked King Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel, and the hundreds of false prophets in their pay. Elijah was a prophet. That's someone who speaks for God by divine inspiration. During a time in Israel's history when the nation was divided between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Ahab was a Jewish king of northern Israel. But the truth is, his wife Jezebel was the power behind the throne. Some jokingly said that the last decision ever made by Ahab was, I do. We'll not ask any married men about that. Every great hero has an equally wicked villain, and Jezebel was Elijah's. She made it her mission in life to wipe every trace of Israel's God off the face of the earth and to force the Israelites to worship her own so-called gods instead. And her favourite was Baal, the supposed god of fertility, who was also the god of rain and the god of the dew. That's the water in the morning, not the Jewish, the dew. Two forms of moisture that was essential for fertile soil. And to make matters worse, the Israelites themselves, they didn't put up a fight. They just went along with what they were told. And in the midst of that apathy, we find Elijah courageously taking a stand for the Lord and calling people to have faith in the one true God. And at the foot of Mount Carmel, he challenges the people of Israel. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. In Hebrew, it literally says, how long will you limp between two opinions? In Glaswegian, it says, get off the fence. Make your mind up. Choose. I believe we all get to make that decision, not just at some crisis point in our lives, but every day, from the moment we wake till we lay our heads to rest at night. Every hero lives a story worth telling. And what makes Elijah such a hero is that at a time when virtually no one stood for anything, Elijah stood for God. At great personal risk, Elijah put his neck on the line when he confronts Ahab and Jezebel, the two most powerful people in his world at that time. Every superhero movie comes to that moment when good versus evil in a final showdown. Even if and often when the hero is injured or weak, outnumbered and alone, 99% of the time, somehow, in some miraculous way, good triumphs. For instance, in the movie Gladiator, it's at that point in the Roman Colosseum where the fatally wounded Maximus Decimus Meridius fights with the Emperor Commodus and somehow overcomes the poison seeping through his veins to kill the emperor. And in the final scenes of the movie, we see the hint of Maximus being rewarded, reunited with his loved ones in the afterlife. The Bible, however, differs from the normal Hollywood script. For Elijah, in defeating the 450 prophets of Baal, does not live happily ever after. No, Elijah has to run for his life and spend several years in hiding as the anger of Jezebel erupts into murderous intent. Being a hero for God does not mean that you will not face adversity, persecution, and hardship. In fact, the opposite is more likely to be the case, for we live in a world that seems hell-bent on driving God out of society. Lord, let Glasgow flourish through the preaching of thy word and praising thy name, became simply, let Glasgow flourish in 1866 when the city fathers registered its motto. Never mind its Christian founding fathers who built its hospitals, schools and universities, many of whom won't allow God to cross their threshold today. And yet the same people wonder why our moral compass seems to have gone south in society. Just as in the time of Ahab and Jezebel, we need heroes like Elijah today. Elijah's name literally means Yahweh is Lord. Now, Yahweh was the name that Israelites used for God. The modern translation pronounces it as Jehovah, as in the song we just sang earlier. There is no God like Jehovah. Jewish tradition suggests that Elijah actually chose this name for himself because he knew who he was and what he was about. Every great superhero knows their purpose and what they stand for. The same is true in real life. Think of some of the greatest people who are real life heroes. They knew what they stood for. Martin Luther, Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, Winston Churchill, Gandhi, T. to name but a few. But many people lead lives with no clear purpose and no idea for what they stand. They just live to get by, going through the motion, working for the weekend. If that's you, let me tell you, that's not what God wants for you. The good news of Jesus Christ is an invitation to participate in a life worth telling or worth living. In fact, in the words of Hollywood, the greatest story ever told. But living a story worth telling is not easy. Having a purpose, making a difference, and deciding to stand for something is often scary and involves personal risk and sacrifice. That's why most people choose to be spectators rather than players in the kingdom of God. For in reality, it's easier to watch someone else do it than it is to do it ourselves. But Jesus didn't die on the cross so you could be a spectator. You were created to contribute, to use your life, your resources, and your will to make a difference, to participate in something bigger than yourself. That's Elijah's story. What's your story? Do you live for something bigger than the weekend, your holiday, your big car, or your home? Living for Christ means living for something out of this world, something bigger than you could imagine, something that does not end when you draw your last breath but continues for eternity. It begins with knowing who God is and losing yourself in the greatest story ever told. So make your life a story worth telling, just like Elijah's. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we often just get by. We live in the moment. We don't worry about other things. We have so many pressures in this world pressing down on us that we don't have time to think of the bigger picture. But you, Lord, see it from a distance. You see our life's start and our life's end. And you know what's in store for us. So you long for us to call upon you at some time in our lives and to come to you so that our lives may continue on and we can be a part of your great story. Lord, give us eyes to see you, ears to hear your word, and a heart that's willing to listen. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.